Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's the Roundball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Joe Fulks, Max Zaplowski, Joey Devine, Neil Johnston, George Yardley, Sean Keane, Alex the Big Groza, Frankie Bryan, Patreons, Christine D'Amato, thank you Christine, Trevor Green, thank you Trevor, Cliff, thank you, Cliff. Musical guest, Gary U.S. Bonds. And now the temporary host of Roundball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Roundball Rock podcast. And we are back with another playoff episode, and you know what that means, Sean. I'm not gonna play it. Sean, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm watching the playoffs. Well, I'm not watching the playoffs right now, but I have been watching the playoffs, and I'm taking care of a dog named Snuggles Muffin.
Have you abused any players in person lately?
You know what I did do? There was a kid next door to this place where I'm dog sitting, and this little boy next door who's like 3 years old, and I went outside and I just dumped a box of cereal over his head, and I said, "Not in my house."
Did you?
And he
spit
said,
on
"I'm
him?
Outside my house."
Did you spit then, on him? That you're vaccinated, so it's okay.
Yeah, so you can spit on people when you're vaccinated.
Yeah, that's what these fans think, right?
The CDC says that's why you don't have to wear your mask in public, so you can spit freely.
Mm-hmm. Sean, we should probably get to this jam-packed episode, but first, we have some business announcements we need to
that's
make.
That's right.
Yeah. Round Rock Pod on Twitter. Call us on the phone at the number in the description. Email us at roundrockpod@gmail.com. Buy our t-shirts in the link at the description on our TeePublic store. And patreon.com/roundrockpod. Sean, I have an announcement for how the Patreon's going to change.
Uh-huh. Great.
Look, I've been really busy with work and haven't been keeping up with it as well as I would have liked. But that's partly because we have some big plans. Sean, Do you know what we're going to do with our Patreon?
I mean, I think you should tell everybody.
Yeah. Oh, are you sure?
No, keep it a secret. You don't want it to be a secret. Keep it a secret.
What we're going to switch to with our Patreon is instead of a full episode every once in a while when Sean and I find time to, we are going to do 3 to 4, maybe 5, sometimes 7, but at least 3 posts a week with smaller extra comments, content, sometimes 10 minutes. Maybe it'll be Brooke and Robin reviewing a movie for 10 minutes. Maybe you'll get 10 minutes of Slammed Up. Maybe you'll get 10 minutes of me complaining about how Andrew Wiggins is too good to do watching Wiggins. This week, you know what's going up, Sean?
What's going up?
During the our Lakers catfishing episode, we issued a challenge for ourselves.
That's true.
To each
true.
Record short podcasts where we were doing both the voices. Sean, you did one, and it's going up tomorrow.
Can I tell? I'll tell people what the title is. Yep. Should I tell people what the title is?
You should tell people what the title is.
It's called Shake It or Take It. Yep. Shake It or Cake It.
Yep. And it just imagine a podcast adjacent to our podcast and what that could be. Mine is gonna go up the day after, and it's Steve Ballmer and Kawhi Leonard doing a celebrity podcast together.
Yeah.
I haven't decided the title yet, but that's right. Sometimes you might just get a free bonus song from Sean. Sometimes you might get something extra stupid with our friends, like, say, a mini play we wrote about Dwight Howard. But
that's a really good point, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be... I want to put it as a place where it's some of our more wild, dumber stuff and gives us some more time to give you the round ball rock goofiness that we like to do. I hope it's not recording my Outlook going insane, because guess what? I don't care, work. I just closed it. All right. So hopefully you didn't hear that chime. Anyway, patreon.com/roundrockpod. Sean, you know what else we have?
What? What do we have?
We have some phones. Some people right. called us.
Some good calls, yeah.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for movie times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342. Please give me a call, being a robot is a solitary road.
That's right, Sean. We have a call. Do you want to describe what this call is?
Yeah, this is actually, it's an anonymous caller. This caller has called before, also has not identified his or her, themselves. But the previous call was chastising us for our lazy crypt keeper humor. And this anonymous caller has another question now.
Oh, great.
They do not tell us to do better, yeah. However.
Well, because we got him last time.
We did get him.
But here is our call from our...
Hi, guys. Calling to ask a brief question. What exactly is Quinn Snyder's deal? He looks like he's playing the devil in a movie where he tries to tempt a young accountant into selling out his soul in exchange for immortal riches. And he's got the most sinister vibe in the world, and what's his deal? Thanks.
Sean, it's an excellent question. Mm-hmm. What is Quinn Snyder?
Well, I would say that fundamentally, I have two related theories. First of all, he played at Duke, he coached at Duke, and he simultaneously, he is a product of both Duke Law and Duke Business School. He got a JD and an MBA. So that's like not only selling your soul to the devil, to use this anonymous caller's own metaphor, it's not just selling your soul to the devil, it's also staying on as a consultant with your soul to intern under the devil to learn more about the soul trafficking industry.
True. Yeah.
And then
this all tracks
then,
to me.
Yeah. And then my second theory is cocaine.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the number one one, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, if you're going to law school and business school at the same time, you're probably doing a lot of cocaine. He was a really dirty college coach too. Like, I think he was giving illegal benefits before he was even announced as the coach at Missouri.
Yeah, to Kareem Rush.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I have a different take.
Okay.
I think he is somehow the human embodiment of Tony Goldwyn's character from Ghost.
Oh.
just come to life.
Uh-huh. I can see that. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Doesn't that track?
The look is there for sure. Yeah.
I've never seen a person look more like a figure.
Yeah, and like if you saw that guy in a movie where there was going to be a reveal that he was a bad guy, it wouldn't work. You would have to tone down a lot of things about his appearance and general vibe. Like it can't be like Errol Flynn on Wall Street hair, you know? That's too much.
Yeah. I mean, he's 280s for the look, but he has like the demeanor of a man twirling a mustache tying a woman to a railroad track.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that woman is the integrity of the Rookie of the Year award.
Anyway, I used to think when I was a small child that Phil Jackson looked like the Chicago Bulls bull.
Uh-huh. I mean, that's not totally wrong.
Right. And Quinn Snyder looks like the soul of 98% of Utah Jazz fans.
Yeah, can't you see him like a ghostly Quinn Snyder just like poking, like sitting on Mitt Romney's shoulder and telling him, yell at Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. Yell at him.
Definitely. All right, we've got another call. Thank you for calling, Anonymous. Please keep calling. And listeners, keep calling.
Yeah, clearly you don't have to identify yourself. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
No one has to identify themselves ever. All right, our next call is a special, has his own drop, so here's that.
Big Corpse Corner. Big Corpse Corner. Big Corpse Corner. A call from Corpse.
That's right, our big man, our big boy, everybody's favorite duck photographer, the host of Turtle Pond Chat with Corbin A. Smith and multiple canceled podcasts, Take It or Break It, Biscuit Ball, Quarantine Cast 2020. The Corbin Smith that doesn't write about the NFL, except when he writes about the NFL and gets the NFL one in trouble.
Yeah.
He's
Corbin Smith, Tom Brady.
And I've got to say, this is one of the more Corbin calls we've ever gotten. I cannot wait for all of our friends to roast him about the background noise. You might want to turn your volume down for this one. Here is Corbin's call.
Hey, Round Ball Rock. Oh, geez. Corbin. Smith, Big Corbs. You know, I go by a lot of names. Oh, my bus is arriving right when I'm starting to record this. Oh, geez. You're telling me that I might have sloppily made some audio content? I would normally never, and I gotta put my mask on. Anyway, as you guys know, oh geez, sorry, somebody's getting off. I'm in a wheelchair, so I gotta put the ramp up. You know, it's cool. So I kind of spent a year away from the NBA because I playing too much Fire Emblem Three Houses. The tactical game and tea drinking simulator from Nintendo Corporation, the fathers of Mario. I was wondering, I'm gonna hop back into the playoffs now, but I don't know one or two things that's going on. Most notably, I don't know who's like bad now, you know? I don't know who, when they get the ball in their hands, so I'm supposed to go, oh, this again? Oh, geez. So if you guys could just take a second to update me on who I'm supposed to hold in contempt every time I watch a basketball game, I would just really appreciate that. All right, thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Big Corbs. To match your call, I wanted to add some ambiance to answer it. Ready, Sean?
Yeah.
All right. So, Sean, who is bad in the NBA playoffs this year?
Oh, that's a good question to ask, Joey, because Aruga! Aruga! Oh, sorry, there was a traffic jam and a pack of angry dogs there. So I gotta say, the most loathsome player so far is actually not playing in the games right now.
Oh, who is it?
I think it's Zach Cohen of
nope. Hold on, that was too loud. It's who?
I think it's Zach Collins of the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, he made the most vulgar hand sign I've ever seen in my entire life.
So gross. Like, and he took so much delight in it, too. It was just, I mean, look, I'm not going to describe the gesture, but it was really unpleasant. And Zach Collins doing it like a human, like a Las Vegas vaping barn owl is kind of his whole vibe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really gross.
Yeah, I would say that's about right. I would say, but for who's bad, clearly there's one answer because everybody can't stop talking about it. It's Andre Drummond. We're all supposed to think Andre Drummond's son. Right?
Oh.
That's who we're... Or is ruining the Lakers!
Yeah. I think we're also supposed to hate Elfrid Payton.
Yeah, Elfrid Payton.
That's what Payton's Knicks fans want us to do. Yeah, these are mostly teams...
Tristan Thompson? They don't
the
like
Celtics
him.
Hate
they
him.
Want Rob Williams.
That's right. That makes a lot of sense, too. I don't know if the Bucks and Sixers have I kind of think Dwight Howard is still like you're always safe rooting against Dwight.
Yeah. But yeah, I would say your main ones in the playoffs so far are Elfrid.
Yeah.
So
who
thank
seem like yeah. fine guys, honestly.
So thank you for the call, Big Corbs. Feel free to call us anytime. That was supposed to be a foghorn. That was not a foghorn. all right. Sean, let's talk some news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean. What's our first?
Our first story is about the T-Wolves slumlord minority owner is suing Glenn Taylor and A-Rod.
I know that's confusing. Is he Jason Veritek?
No, and he's not another of he's. It's not like he hasn't been wronged by A-Rod. Like he didn't. Things aren't over with J-Lo because A-Rod slept with his wife. Mm-hmm. I know that Carl Anthony Scaramucci might have some thoughts about that, but no, we. Okay, Meyer Orbach.
How would you describe his look?
Gosh, it's like creepily smooth. It's like would you say his face is kind of shiny?
He has kind of the look of a. It's like if he had Benjamin Buttoned.
Yeah, it's like the way if a child could effectively. It kind of feels like if you'd gotten that Captain America Steve Rogers treatment, but it didn't make you look mature, just larger.
it's anyway, very, who is he? We've yeah. explained who he is.
Sorry, he's the minority owner. I think he owns about 15% of the team.
Of the
17% of the team. Yeah, of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Biggest minority owner of the Timberwolves.
Yeah, so he's suing... Glenn Taylor because he's saying that the transaction where he sold to A-Rod and A-Rod's partner, business partner, again, not his sexual partner, possibly his sexual partner. You know what? I don't know what goes on there. But because there is a tag-along clause, and I looked this up, what it just means is, okay, so Glenn Taylor
Nate Duncan had it.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. They're linked in. So because Glenn Taylor is selling a controlling interest in the team, the rules of that are that the minority owners also get a chance to sell at that same time because, you know, they had a partnership with Glenn Taylor. They are not negotiating this sale. He has to give them the right to do it too. Now, I think Joe Smith also gets to sell his shares in the team. Kevin McHale gets to sell his shares. Princess Estate should get to sell their shares.
Dave Perner gets to sell his shares.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but Bob Moule owns a small piece of the team.
No, he does not. He's not from Minneapolis. St. Paul. St. Paul, people from St. Paul are not allowed to own the team, Sean.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, that is a weird clause that David Stern insisted
fact,
on,
in
too.
In fact, anytime someone from the St. Paul area even tries to buy the team, Dave Perner just gets more shares.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Yeah. So, I think Joe Maurer also owns a big chunk of the mm-hmm, team, right?
Yeah, I think that's also true.
Yeah. What that means, and so what Glenn Taylor is doing, what a surprise that Glenn Taylor is involved in a shady transaction. He is pretending like he's not selling all the team at once because initially A-Rod is buying like 20% of the team and he's not taking over completely until I think 2023. And that was a weird thing too, that Glenn Taylor was going to like mentor them or something.
Yeah.
And it turns out this is actually it's just a way to try to cut his business partners out of the deal.
So Meyer Orbach is the good guy in this situation.
He's the good guy. And we also learned that as much as Glenn Taylor said that the contract prevented A-Rod from moving the team to Minneapolis, that there is no such clause, meaning they could
move the team whenever he wants.
Yeah, and he is, of course, going to move them to Seattle because he played baseball there for 5 years. Right? That's how it works.
Yeah, yeah. That is how it works.
He left Seattle 20 years ago, but he's going to pay them back by bringing the Minnesota Timberwolves there to become the Seattle Basketball Kraken. I believe that's the name that they've chosen. Glenn Taylor had a crazy quote. I'm not actually going to read this quote because he just is lying. And he didn't put a clause. You can have a clause that keeps them from right. moving the team. Like, that happens all the time. And he didn't do that. However, Meyer Orbach, just we should know, he is a real estate mogul who claims
he's
specializes.
A good guy in this situation, but he's a bad guy in life.
Yeah, because his big deal is he talks about how he's interested in affordable housing.
Yeah.
And what that means
but
is that
a
he.
Lie.
He buys big – he'll buy like big – like entire city blocks of real estate in New York City and then sue all the tenants so they get evicted, especially even if they're in their 80s, have rent-controlled apartments. And he just has lawyers file like 50 identical eviction suits that, you know, they don't serve people. And then he quadruples the rent.
Yep.
So
Very cool. Cool guy. Love capitalism.
I got to say. I don't think he cares about them moving the team either. Mm-mm. I think
he's from New Jersey.
Yeah, right. His loyalty to the people. I mean, he might want to like. I mean, maybe that's why he bought the Timberwolves, is that he thought maybe he could like evict all the disappointing players and then make like Mall of America 2 out of the Target Center, maybe.
Yeah.
So anyway, a lot of bad guys all around. That's all. That's
yeah.
All. Just depressing. And Adam Silver probably has no problem with it because one of his best friends is Jared Kushner, a very similar slumlord.
Yep. A lot of ghouls floating around. Remember, eat the rich, defund the police. Round Ball Rock is for the people. Fuck team ownership. Let's let Kyrie Irving start that players league.
Yeah.
Sean, it's playoff time, so you wouldn't think it would be time for this guy because he did not make the playoffs this year and probably won't for the next 20 years, but guess what time it is?
It's Tillman time. That's right. Texas Tillman, Trump supporter, State House man, and billionaire buyer. Houston Rockets motherfucker. Tillman time.
How does Tillman describe himself?
A motherfucker.
All I do is win, win, win. Tillman time.
John, what the fuck is going on? The owner of the Houston Rockets. The villain of this podcast, my own personal Lex Luthor. Don't tell him I said that or else he'll make me sleep with the fishes in the Gulf of Mexico. Tillman J. Fertitta.
Author, billionaire buyer, owner of two mega yachts. So Tillman Fertitta,
we couldn't even name give different names. God, that makes me mad.
Yeah, his boardwalk is that
what
it is?
They're all called boardwalk. He couldn't even name the other one Park Place.
Right. Well, because he's worried about
or Empire.
Yeah.
God.
So he's he owns the Houston Rockets. He owns two mega yachts. He owns the Landry's family of restaurants, including the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company and the Saltwater Steakhouse. We learned that he also owns
Saltgrass Steakhouse.
Sorry, we learned this week that he also owns a U.S. senator.
Oh,
so
really?
That's
one?
Pretty exciting.
Please be Marjorie Taylor Greene. Please be Marjorie Taylor Greene.
She's not a senator yet,
right.
Joey. Not till 2022. A-Rod's going to take over the Timberwolves, and MTG is going to take over the Senate in January of 2023. Senator Mark Kelly, astronaut, husband of a better politician who had to quit because she got shot.
My favorite newsroom episode.
Your favorite newsroom episode.
Where the news refuses. The news does not pronounce Gabrielle Giffords dead. Doctors do,
yes,
damn it!
They do pronounce bin Laden dead airline crews, however.
But it's very... It's That the Gabrielle Giffords episode of The Newsroom, if you haven't seen it, is very funny because, of course, it's very easy for Aaron Sorkin's fictional newsroom to not declare Gabrielle Giffords dead because he's writing it 2 years after it happened.
Yeah, I mean, he waited a long time to make that call.
Yep.
It's actually possible she could have died between the recording and airing of the episode,
but they would have then covered that. ACN then would have covered that 4 years later.
Mm-hmm. Right. So Mark Kelly, who's a senator, he was on the Landry's board.
Oh, great! He must love big steaks.
So, February of 2013 to 2017, looks like he probably made about $500,000. He did not have to disclose it. He only had to say that he made more than $5,000. But you make $125,000 a year being on that board. It is a part-time job, obviously. And weirdly, he's also one of only three Democratic senators who has not endorsed their labor reform bill.
Oh, ProAct?
The
only
Pro
good
Act.
Thing the Democrats have done in 30 years.
Yes. So here's he was now that's
I
actually
wonder
not
why that is. Is it because is there a stipulation in there that maybe they can't charge employees $5 a month for an employee discount?
I think that would have to do that. So
that's something Tillman does.
Well, while he was on the board, Landry's rolled out a forced arbitration agreement, which meant they had to work at any of those restaurants, you had to sign away your right to be in a class action lawsuit and agree to arbitration, which would be illegal under this new act. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you about another one because we know about Landry's. We know they steal wages, obviously. They charge you $5 for an employee discount. They put a weird passive aggressive note on their receipts when someone raised the minimum wage. I don't remember what city that was in or what state that was in, but it was like because the government's making us pay these assholes, these worthless proles. So Mark Kelly was on the board of a company called Lancadia Holdings LLC. That is what is called a blank check company. That is just a company you form to buy other companies.
Not to be confused with the blank check company hosted by Griffin and David.
Yes,
the top podcast.
Yes, yeah, so Tillman's company bought a delivery service called Waiter, and it doesn't have an E in it because we live in a nightmare world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So subsequently, they got sued by their drivers because they were paying them sub-minimum wages. They used to have normal hourly employee things, and then they got reclassified as independent contractors. This is an interesting situation where also the investors sued Tillman because he bought it and told everybody to buy it, and then the stock crashed. Some other things about Mark Kelly.
I wonder what that scam was all about.
Yeah, weird. I mean, I think he was trying to flip it as long as he could make it like indentured. He was like, maybe we can get these guys to be indentured servants. Like maybe they have to buy their gas at the company store. Like, could we get that going? And then they couldn't. He was like, screw it. Stab on their throats and cut their throats. Mm-hmm. So another thing, Mark Kelly, got $50,000 for being on the board of an investment firm, which has home healthcare companies and for-profit educational firms.
Cool.
As well as pharmaceuticals. So some deeply anti-labor businesses. And then he's on the safety board at SpaceX, the company that explodes rockets with taxpayer subsidies. Elon Musk's government-funded rocket explosion company. I'm not really expecting Tillman to sell soon, but if he does sell the rockets, you could possibly get a junior senator from Arizona because he works for Tillman,
not the American people. It's crazy. It's kind of cheap to buy a senator. One out of 100, and it cost him like $500,000.
If you're a senator out there and you want to do some pro round ball rock work, we will not pay you. Fuck off. All right. Sean, guess what time it is?
What time is it? Yos, player, turn up.
That's right, baby. We had a whole week of real NBA playoffs, not the fake play-in ones. So let's talk playoffs, but we got to go fast. There's too much to talk about.
Like 4 minutes a series.
Sure.
Okay.
All right, Sean, first thing I want to talk about, let's talk about the fans. How great has it been to have the fans back in the buildings for these games?
I don't know if it's been that great, Joey.
No, it's been terrible. what is it about Russell Westbrook and fans of real asshole fans? It feels like this happens. Something happens between him and a fan in a playoff series every year, whether it's Mitt Romney or another racist jazz fan who's less rich than Mitt Romney, or a man who threw popcorn on him while he was injured yesterday.
Yeah, someone threw popcorn on Russell Westbrook when he left the game.
I just can't believe someone from the city of Philadelphia.
I can't believe that they would throw something that soft, honestly. Like, maybe if it was like peanuts, that seems like a projectile that those animals would be into. Like a hoagie, maybe like a frozen hoagie.
Well, don't worry. That's not the only thing that happened with the fans.
Oh, good. Good. Yesterday, thank God it wasn't just Philadelphia.
Yeah. Jazz fans harassed John Morant's family so bad they had to leave the game because they were racist.
Who would have thought that would have happened in Utah, except that it happened every year in the playoffs? Seriously, every year this happens. Someone makes a... I mean, I'm sure they were saying racist things to John Morant's family. Like, I just... You know. They're... Again, I just want to remind people that you could not join the Mormon Church if you were black until 1978, after Vince Carter was born. Just to give you a little perspective on that.
But don't worry, we have some good fans in the league, too.
Like, in the Mecca.
In the Mecca, right? Oh, wait, one of them spit on Trae Young.
Oh, well, they probably weren't doing anything else disrespectful to Trae Young, were they?
Well, we can get to that later.
Okay. but yeah, I'm ready to ban the fans. Honestly, I think after... I think the Sixers should not be allowed to have fans for their next home game. Like, make real consequences for this. Like, they take away the guys' season tickets. Like, especially the Jazz. Like, look, you play with no fans. That's what they do in soccer. Like, you yell racist things at the opposing players. They have no fans in the next game. Like, why Utah is clearly not trying to do anything about it at all, because again, it happens every single year.
Didn't they hand out like brochures or something about racism last year?
Well, remember Kyle Korver had that revelation that things can be difficult when you're not white. And he got a lot of credit for that. And he really rightfully did. So, obviously, because sometimes it takes you 17 years of being in the NBA to notice that some of your majority black coworkers have had some struggles over the years.
Yep.
So anyway, I think Utah should not be allowed to have fans on
fix that. Hold a Stop the Steal rally on the same at the same time.
And then they're gonna next door.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you tell them that there's gonna be a 5-minute speech about how Black Lives Matter, and the Utah Jazz fans will just boycott.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Let's go series by series. We started with Russ. Let's talk Wizards Sixers. Sean, my first question for you: did Ben Simmons actually break Russell Westbrook?
You know, it looks like he might have actually done that. It's very funny that
Ben Simmons seems to, like, every year get fired up by fans who are demanding that he shoot. And then he, like, goes to the basket 12 times in a game and puts up, like, 30 points. But this time it seemed like he was his own fans that motivated him.
Well, Philly fans are very... They were also throwing things at him.
They were throwing things at him, and then, like, they remembered Sam Hinkie, and they all just started openly weeping and didn't pay attention to their...
frantically hitting refresh on tankathon.com.
Please, we could have, he got us Rashawn Holmes briefing.
All right, Sean, my next question. Pat Croce rang the ceremonial bell to start the game. Does this mean we're getting another season of Slam Ball?
God, I hope so. And if you're not familiar with Slam Ball
or Pat Croce, look it up.
Pat Croce is Sixers hype man. Joey, do you want to tell your Slam Ball story?
My 21st birthday. My girlfriend at the time was very upset with me because she threw me a surprise party. And I spent the entire time in the living room with my friend Elliot watching Slam Ball while the rest of the party was in the backyard around the keg. And every time literally anything would happen, me or my friend Elliot would yell, Slam Ball! At the top of our lungs.
She was in the right. She should bring back Slam Ball.
Although Slam Ball... admittedly, I think is maybe the most dangerous sport ever invented.
Man, it really seems
ball
like
ball sport.
It seems like
it's built to break someone's legs entirely. Yeah. It's basketball mixed with hockey mixed with trampolines.
It just seems like there should have been an ACL tear every single game. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, for some reason it didn't completely catch on in America yet.
All right, we got to talk Hawks Knicks now.
Yeah,
Sean.
Oh yeah. Oh, who's gonna win that series, Joey?
Oh, it's gonna be the Wizards, unless you know, because our man Robin Lopez, is basically part of their big three now.
Yeah, he is. He's allowed to cook finally.
I've got to say. If anyone, everyone needs to go easy on Davis Bertans. He's been really bad, but he had COVID really bad, and it's clearly affected him.
Look, his shot is a beautiful thing normally.
The Latvian laser shoot. All right. Hawks Knicks. Sean, the main thing I want to ask you about here.
Yes.
Is Bill de Blasio.
Yes. Okay. America's coolest mayor?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Just listen to this.
Important official announcement. This is very serious. Want to get this out. Message to Trae Young on behalf of the people of New York City and anyone who cares about actually playing basketball the right way. Stop hunting for fouls, Trae. I want to quote Steve Nash, one great player, great coach. He says, quote unquote, that's not basketball. Trae, that Hawk's not going to fly in New York City. Come on. Ugh. Play the game the right way. See if you can win. I think the Knicks are going to teach you a lesson.
All right.
Jesus Christ.
Look, and here's the main thing I wanted to play. Look, Bill de Blasio, you don't get to tell a basketball player what basketball is because you don't know what a hamburger and French fries is. Listen to this.
Free fries when you get vaccinated? I got vaccinated. You're saying I could get this? These delicious fries? Wait a minute. But there's also a burger element to this. Let me check with Bill Neidhart. Is it too early in the day to eat a burger? No. This could be breakfast. Okay.
This man has never eaten.
I want you to look at this and think about, again, some people love hamburgers, some don't. Really want to respect all ways of life. But if this is appealing to you, just think of this when you think of vaccination.
Like a weird creep pretending to eat meat.
God.
By the way, just so you know, he didn't finish those fries. He took two bites and then put the remainder of the fry down. Like, What a weird alien he is. Anyway, I'm sure he and Adam Silver are also friends, by the way.
This is our weirdest series, right? We got mayors wearing fake jerseys, eating hamburgers. We have 50 Cent and Sting sitting next to each other.
That was so weird. Sting and 50 Cent all
game.
What
do you think they have in common?
I mean, like, in weird investments and stuff.
See, I was going to say, do you think 50 Cent is in...
He's not into, well, no. He might be. He did say he's into tantric sex. He's just not into making love.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, that's, yeah. That's
weird. You'll
end up getting rubbed for 7 or 8 hours with 50 yeah. cents.
That's what he's there for. Right. Sting is teaching him the art of the never ending hand job. All right. also Kevin Herter today. He had a tomahawk dunk, but also in the game last night. But then Red Velvet himself said he could beat up any fan, basically.
He did. He said he was basically like, oh, if you weren't in the stands, you know, fuck around and find out.
So here's my question, Sean.
Yes.
Could Kevin Herter beat up Sting?
Yes. Actually, after watching the game... Kevin Herter is, again, a very strange-looking redhead. He looks like a little boy.
Yeah.
But he's big. I saw him block a shot in that game, and I was like, oh, Sting would catch hands
now,
from this
could
guy.
Kevin Herter beat up 50 Cent?
I don't know that Kevin Herter knows how to fight. Like, with Sting,
that's
he
what
can
I'm
just
kind
of
50 Cent is going to beat up Kevin Herter.
I think he's going to beat up Kevin Herter. Like with Sting, Kevin Herter can sort of, like, just slap him from above and then just like, where's your rainforest now? And Sting's like holding a lute over his head, shielding himself.
And more importantly, the number one story everyone else is going to be talking about, but because we are who we are, we thought Sting and 50 Cent was more important. Someone at Madison Square Garden handed out flyers to every single person in the game that said, tonight's chant is Trey is balding. At only 22 years old, Trey's hair is thinning at an alarmingly fast pace, and he has a bald spot forming on the crown of his head. This will be a much more effective chant to take advantage of home court and throw Trey off his game. So my question for you, Sean.
Yes.
Who wrote this, Bill de Blasio or James Dolan?
I don't know. It could be Bill Simmons. As we all know, Bill Simmons revolutionized the idea of sports fandom by organizing chants on the @CelticChants Twitter account to mobilize Celtic fans all their
Who
opponents.
Are we talking about? Sorry, I almost forgot.
Oh, Bill Simmons, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Bill Simmons, and here's what I believe. I believe the defending NBA champ should wear championship belts to every
I believe
game.
That... I believe that chants are the most important and effective thing in the world.
I believe that you gotta say, we can smell it. We can smell
that
it.
That is an actual chant he tried to get the Celtics
we
fans
can smell
to
it.
Do.
Joey, do you know what the Knicks fans actually chanted, though?
Fuck Trey.
Over and over again. They had to turn up the music in the arena really loud. It didn't work.
Now, I have a question for you, Sean. You've lived in New York City.
Yes.
Where is Madison Square Garden?
Basically at Times Square.
Yeah. Okay, just checking.
Yeah, people freaked out about that. It's like, I was like, yeah, it's right by Times Square. It's very close to Times Square. I mean, I guess it's above Penn Station, or maybe it's sponsored or something like that, but it's pretty much at Times Square. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, the series
away.
Is cool and fun.
It's a really fun series, and it's a really weird series because both these teams seem decidedly unfinished.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're just like, wow, Reggie Bullock really swung that game. It came down to Danilo Gallinari and Nerlens Noel facing off, like just weird.
Mm-hmm.
Guys that seem like they were done, guys who are finding themselves. Taj Gibson and Derrick Rose are playing in crunch time.
Anyway,
Gallinari has been very bad so far. I think he's going to come back. I think the Hawks are going to win.
I also think the Hawks are going to win.
But I mean, these games have been very close. It could. I would put $0 on this. Because I think Atlanta is not going to have a strong home court advantage. But you never know. There could be somebody who, you know, just like throws a rock at Julius Randle. What should they chant?
What shitty thing should the Hawks chant?
Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, that is what they should chant. Woody Allen. All right.
They should actually buy Charles Oakley a courtside seat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they should.
I mean, like, somebody should just do that.
All right, let's
talk. Unfortunately, the Hawks... the Hawks can't do that because their ownership is best friends with Jeffrey Epstein. So, everybody would get kicked out.
Also, the Sixers I would do that either.
Yeah, you're right, God.
The whole East bracket is
Epstein
adjacent. All right, let's talk about our most annoying series, Sean. It's a real contrast of styles. The super uncool Jazz versus the super very cool Grizzlies. Sean, Rudy Gobert fouled out and tried to draw a foul from Kyle Anderson by wandering along the baseline and taunting him, and then flopping massively when Anderson lightly pushed him away. He was not in the game when this happened.
No, he had fouled out.
Read the quote he had about this.
I will to capture. I want to do this as accurately as possible. Mm-hmm. Okay. It was hard for me to figure out what kind of game they were calling. Early in the game, they were allowing us to play physical. And then at some point, they hit me with two quick ones on rebounds when Valanciunas was doing the exact same thing. So it's kind of hard for me to find ways to just get into the game when I don't really know if I should play physical or if I should sell it when he pushes me. But when they don't call it, it was hard for me to know the way to play the game. It kind of threw me off a little bit. My name is Rudy Gobert.
The Jazz also have briefly had some internal strife when Donovan Mitchell was mad at the medical staff, but then Rudy Gobert was maybe mad at Donovan Mitchell for being hurt or something.
And he was mostly mad that he found out after a nap.
Yeah.
Like, very, very European.
Which is some real Gerard Depardieu shit. It's like, oh, how could you hand me these divorce papers after my second bottle of wine?
It's just like such a whiny team. Like, oh, it's so... Gobert is flopping in a crazy way in this series. So the Grizzlies won game one. The Jazz won game two. It was very high scoring. John Morant is scoring a ton of points. It's weird because it does look like Rudy Gobert is really affecting the game defensively. But then you see that Memphis is scoring like 130 points. And John Morant seems to be able to score at the basket whenever he wants. So Utah should take this series.
I have some breaking Jazz news for you. From
Woj. Yeah, please.
Utah judge tossed out a $100 million lawsuit against Russell Westbrook and the Utah Jazz, filed by two fans banned from Jazz games after taunts towards Westbrook in a March 2019 game.
Wow, great.
Shane Keisel and Jennifer Huff claim defamation and infliction of emotional stress
by Westbrook
and the Jazz for banning them and calling them racist in public or whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can find videos of people saying racist things to Russell Westbrook easily on Twitter.com. Check it out. Here's something that I have a problem with, Joey.
Yeah, do you want to do this bit you have written here?
We don't have to do that.
I think you should. It's a good bit.
Okay.
I'm reading it.
Okay.
It's funny.
All right. Okay, so here's what I the Jazz are again using the playoff slogan "Take Note."
Mm-hmm. A little too clever by half.
Yeah, it like arrested development where you're like, but "Take Note" isn't really that cool a phrase. You know what I mean? It's like, well, actually. Take note. Actually, we were first in defensive rating, and it feels like something Clippy would maybe come up with. And it's a music note too. That's the double meaning. So it is white people talking about jazz, which is the jazz, the music, which is worse. And like real jazz, the Utah Jazz are not very popular, but the most annoying people in the world mm-hmm. will tell you to respect them a lot and pay attention to them. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, ball movement is jazz. And like Dave Brubeck, they play the right way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So this is Ryan Gosling in La La Land's favorite team.
The one thing I want to say before.
Yeah.
No more Grayson Allen. I know.
Yeah.
Weirdly, this entire cool Grizzlies team has like all of them went to Duke. Like the coach went to Duke. The GM went to Duke. Grayson uh-huh. Allen is on the team. Tyus uh-huh. Jones went to Duke. Justice Winslow went to Duke. No more Grayson Allen. I know. Look, I might be saying that simply because he hit two big threes against my team, the Golden State Warriors, in an overtime. But I'm not. I'm saying it because I can't look at his face anymore. It makes me want to smash my own face into my 4K TV. Yeah, that's right. I have a 4K TV.
Oh, all right. Damn. He's also getting killed. He was like minus 23. Yeah. See if Justice Winslow can do something.
Sean, who's going to win this series?
I hate saying it's the Jazz, but I think it's going to go six.
Yeah, I think it's the Jazz, but I'm going to say seven. Jaw has been so awesome.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like that game should have been a blowout, and it ended up being really hard. So all Memphis has to do is make some threes, mm-hmm. and they had some threes available.
All right, Grayson, let's talk about the most weirdly predictable series, Clippers-Mavericks. It's just, this is the same thing we watched last year.
Uh-huh, Luka's just better.
Yeah.
It's like the Clippers, this is a front-running team. They kind of managed to just bully the Mavericks last year a little bit, but it was a very dangerous series. But, you know, Porzingis was hurt. The supporting players weren't as good for the Mavericks. And now it's just like they were bullying a kid who grew up, and now these fifth graders have to fight a second grader instead of a first grader, and they're just like overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's they still should be way better, mm-hmm. and yet they just have no answer to Luka Doncic. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are mostly not really guarding him. Like it's like Marcus Morris's assignment for some reason. And whatever they're doing, they're also not stopping Tim Hardaway Jr. And they're not really stopping Porzingis. They're not stopping anyone. Their whole thing is supposed to be like this scary defense. And like, oh, when it's crunch time, they got those five mm-hmm. defenders, Beverly, George, Kawhi, Morris. And it's not good at all. They're just getting torched. They've lost five playoff games in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
And they are a bummer.
I have a theory on this.
Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I blame Patrick Beverly for this. Because he had a mini light year the first game they played. Yeah. Where the Clippers beat the shit out of the Golden State Warriors. And he yelled at Steph Curry, "You had the last 5 years. The next 5 years are mine."
Uh-huh.
And Steph Curry laughed and replied, "Aren't you 31? Which, if Steph Curry is being funny and burning people in a cool way, you have really done fucked up.
You're uncool. Yeah. He is a great player, but
Steph Curry is fucking lame. He's my favorite player of all time, but he is, when he's not playing basketball, he is lame.
He has to be. He's probably one of the worst trash talkers of all time.
Gotta be, right?
It's also hilarious. Circling back to the Knicks, it is really funny how much of a wrestling heel Trae Young is being to the fans at MSG. It's fantastic.
It's great
shit talking.
It's like real Reggie Miller come to life shit.
Yeah. And look, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George have been playing well offensively. It's not like last year when George just couldn't make a shot, but I think that it doesn't really seem like either of those guys is the leader of the team.
All right, who's going to win this series, Sean?
The Mavericks.
Yep.
I think in five, maybe.
But actually, they could easily win these next two games in Dallas. I mean, this Clippers team just looks ready to quit. And Paul George was saying they weren't concerned.
Those quotes.
Who lets him even talk at these playoff series?
Because Ty Lue also said they weren't concerned.
Yeah. Oh, they did what they had to do. Well, now they have to go home and win some games. Like, oh yeah, that they got to go home and win. Yeah. with their full arena, because Texas has no rules against this. It didn't help that they were playing in front of like cardboard cutouts of Penny Marshall. Mm-hmm. In LA, but it's going to be real fans in Dallas, like live people, unvaccinated, unmasked, skating, toting guns,
throwing chicharrones at them. All right,
they're going to bring in Slovenian hooligans. It's going to be amazing. Okay, yeah, sorry.
Lakers Suns. Let's talk about it. AD kicked Jay Crowder in the nuts. Is this a real? Like him taking the pebble from Chris Paul's hand, like has the student become the master here, because AD also orchestrated a trade out of New Orleans to the Los Angeles Lakers, just like Chris Paul did, except David Stern axed that, and mm-hmm. now he's kicking people in the nuts in a playoff game.
It's crazy, right?
Where he's kind of not playing as well as he should.
Uh-huh. Yeah. do you think Danny Ainge tried to trade Jay Crowder after that
and then
remembered he wasn't on the team? Yeah.
Never mind. I'm not going to say that. That would be too mean. All right.
Okay. So the weirdest thing about game two, Joey, is that, again, Lakers fans hated Andre Drummond and they were like, play Marc Gasol, thinking Andre Drummond would go to the bench. And then they played Marc Gasol, they played Drummond the same amount of minutes. And so they just played this giant lineup all game.
Here's the thing I want to give the Lakers credit for with this Andre Drummond thing. Uh-huh. I always kind of laugh at Ramona Shelburne and Jeannie Buss when they talk about how the Lakers are a family and they're like loyal and good to their word or whatever. But the Lakers promised Andre Drummond he would play, and they're continuing to play him, so to their own giant detriment.
It's weird. It worked, though. But maybe that's because Chris Paul wasn't really playing. Like, do you need a... I don't know. It was a very interesting thing where it was like, not only are we not playing AD at center the whole game, we're not playing him at center at any point in the game. So, kind of amazing. And that means, Joey...
But I just kind of like that they're keeping true to their word.
Yeah, it's cool. Like,
Joey Buss would never do.
No. No, he's a shark. Johnny West is loyal, though.
He's down in Commerce Casino just stabbing people in the back. All right.
And I have to say, been pretty impressed with Devin Booker in this series. I hate it. I don't like that. But
yeah,
what are you gonna do?
He's fine. Who's winning this series, Sean?
Yeah, they're winning. They're winning. I mean, sorry, everybody.
All right, let's talk Nets Celtics. Bill de Blasio. I don't have this clip.
He
can't even get the rich guy fan thing correct.
He wore
a dress shirt over a Nets jersey, and it's supposed to be the other way around.
Mm-hmm. And he's wearing a Brooklyn hat, and here was his quote. Why was he a Nets fan? So he's not even a Knicks fan, by the way.
No.
Everyone knows me as the guy who revived small businesses. No one knows him as that. The Brooklyn Nets and my hometown Park Slope embody that. I'm proud of my roots. It's a Nets world. I mean, look, Park Slope does have some small businesses, but some of them are like...
They're like crystal stores.
Or like artisan iPhone cases.
Yeah, like stuff for rich babies. Too.
Yeah, I mean, look, I like Park Slope, but
sure,
mainly because of the park. That's like
That's the selling point, not Bill de Blasio's small business subsidies for...
Here's my question about Bill de Blasio and Park Slope.
Yeah.
Do you think his family was just like the squid and the whale? Is that why he is the way he is?
Ooh. Yeah, that could... Because
that's the most Park Slope movie ever made.
It is the most Park Slope movie ever made. And he also seems like he was deeply traumatized. But I don't think anyone...
Like, he for sure seems like he would play Numb by Pink Floyd and claim he wrote it.
Could you see... I could see Jeff Daniels, that character. I could see him accidentally murdering a groundhog like Bill de Blasio
oh,
did.
Sure. The only difference
see that video, too, as well.
Bill
he
de Blasio,
literally kills a groundhog.
Yeah, and then, weirdly, he jerked off on some library books afterwards.
That was strange. I didn't get it.
Anyway, Nets Celtics. Nets are just good, dude.
Celtics are getting hammered. It's Kyrie's return to Boston, this weirdly one-sided rivalry where the Celtics, it's just weird that there's this narrative that Kyrie ruined that team and their chemistry. And yet, after he left, they're still constantly having to have players-only meetings. Like, Marcus Smart's, like, wrecking the locker room while people aren't there. And Boston fans still with a straight face are like, yeah, Kyrie destroyed this team. It's like, it's 2 years later and they still fight with each other and melt down all the time. And like, was it worse when Kyrie was there? Like, I don't think so.
They no, he just still... like wouldn't talk to people in the elevator or whatever. Remember, that was like one of the stories.
Right. Except all his teammates were like, great. We love Kyrie. He's great at basketball. Yeah, too bad he got hurt a couple times.
Also, Kyrie said some very fair things that everyone knows is true about Boston fans being racist.
He just said...
And, like, called it subtle racism, because that's what it is. Uh-huh. And the Boston Globe proved him right, because you know what their tweet was about it?
Please.
Kyrie Irving's comments on racism in Boston just upped the stakes for the Celtics.
That's right. Peyton Pritchard and Luke Kornet are fighting for the white race now against the Brooklyn Nets.
Did Danny Ainge chime in on this today?
He did.
Yeah, you
now,
sure
Danny
did.
Now, Danny Ainge, long time Boston. And he said, in 26 years in Boston, I've never heard a Celtics player mention that.
Well, can I... Someone pointed this out.
Yeah.
So Danny Ainge said that. He lied about that. But then...
he's like, Kevin McHale never said anyone was racist. Greg Kite was never upset.
Earlier today, here's a quote from Marcus Smart.
Quote,
yeah, I've heard it. I've heard a couple of things. It's hard to hear that and then have them support us as players. It's kind of sad and sickening. So you know what that tells me? Danny Ainge has never talked to Marcus Smart.
Yeah, Marcus Smart wrote an article in the Players Tribune about it. Like, it's not even that he didn't have to hear it. He could have easily looked it up. But no black players are ever uncomfortable, except for when people are constantly using the N-word at Boston Garden and Fenway Park, which someone yelled a racial slur, I think, in 2019 at outfielder Alex.
What's that guy's
Why am
name?
I not saying his name?
I
Jones. Adam think. Jones.
Yeah, Adam
I almost
Jones,
said Alex Jones, and that's what made
I
my brain
like,
melt.
Well,
I was like, hey, listen, I was playing center field and right in Fenway, and someone yelled something really crazy. It was the crazy media. Okay, that's my Alex Jones impression. Thanks, everybody.
Anyway, who's going to win this series?
And hopefully it's like a 3-0. Like, Jason Tatum shouldn't even show up at game four. Like, learn the lesson of Bill Russell. They don't love you like that, Tatum.
Yep.
Go somewhere where you'll really be appreciated. You still have time. You're only 19 years old.
All right. And finally, the weirdest grudge match in the history of the NBA, Nuggets versus Blazers.
Yes.
First off, let's talk Zach Collins.
Yes. I think in general, this is entertaining because
Zach Collins proved he is the most Vegas man alive again this week, by Making the lewdest hand gesture I've ever seen in my entire life. First off, he flipped off a guy. Then...
Double bird, by the way.
Double bird, which is one. Tight. I love when players give people the bird. That rules.
He's just in the stands injured, too.
But then he decided the bird wasn't enough, and a hand gesture that is like... It's like if a gang sign were a vagina.
Yeah, that's the best description of this.
Which, by the way, all lady gang, steal that sign. You know what I mean? That's
yeah,
tight.
Yeah. Maybe it's an empowered sign. Well, the other thing
what
is that...
What vulgar gesture is he going to do next? Is he going to do the tongue between the V?
Oh, he is. He's definitely thinking about that one. He also might do the Jack Nicholson / Ace Ventura, like bent over, talking butt, head through the like Jack Nicholson at the Golden Globes or Ace Ventura.
What if he just does the finger into the circle at a guy and he's like, what?
By the way, do you know where that talking butt thing came from?
No.
They were doing a read through at a Living Color, and a guy who used to run the CBS diversity program, he was fired in disgrace, had written a sketch, and Jim Carrey hated it so much that he like stood up from the table and just started reading his lines with the butt, like, then he says this. It was like, it's the most humiliating moment of my life.
Yeah. If it happened now, he would have just painted about it.
He painted about it, yeah. And he would have been like, oh, you guys are probably vaccinated.
The other weird chippiness with this, besides the most Vegas man alive,
yeah.
Portland fans are mad at Jokic because they traded them Nurkic?
Yeah, that has been a constant thing since the trade.
Yeah, and
where it's like a rivalry.
Are mad at Melo because he requested a trade to the Knicks 10 years ago?
Yes, they're both very angry about those things.
And Jamal Murray is just wandering the court like a drunk man, even though he's injured.
Well, and Barton and Murray are getting into it with Zach Collins. So I think that is the provocation for that. I think he was giving Murray the double bird in game.
And then the big P or whatever.
And the weird thing is like there should be bad blood because these guys just played a really intense series 2 years ago.
But none of the guys are the same.
Yeah, like most of the players.
Mo Harkless ain't walking through that door.
Al Farouk Aminu ain't walking through
that door.
Evan Turner definitely not walking through that door. Seth Curry, he's not walking through that door
anyway,
this year.
Anyway, weird series, fun series though.
Yeah, really, really fun. The game was completely derailed by 10 million fouls in the third quarter of game two. I will also say the Utah-Memphis game had quite a quick whistle in it, but it was still like phenomenally entertaining. These are both really fun teams.
Sean, who's going to win this?
You know, I just can't bet against Jokic this year. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to bet against Dame. Don't get me wrong. Like they've both been incredible. I just think that Jokic is it's going to be a little bit better. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Portland won or anything, but I think Denver's going to do it. I think we're going to get a like a white hot Michael Porter Jr. game, and that's going to like steal it.
Yeah, I'd like to see a real good Melo game though before we get out of here.
Yeah, that would be tight too. There's going to be a good CJ game. I think we already kind of had a pretty sick Streetball Paul game too.
But yeah, I'm going to say Nuggets in seven, unfortunately.
It's just like, I think Morris is just going to keep playing more minutes, and that's like solving their biggest Morris, weakness. Man. He's so tough. Yeah.
All right, Sean, I think that's our episode.
Yeah, I think so too.
Is there anything you'd like to plug?
February, Friday the 28th, is my last weekly version of the self-care comedy Zoom show. I'm going to start hosting it again on a monthly basis on the second Tuesday of every month. So the first one of those is going to be on June 14th.
Great.
Yeah.
And then as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz.
Where it's actually going to be June 8th. I'm sorry.
It's fair.
Idiot. Sorry.
At Frankie Muniz, where 23 hours ago, I tweeted just a truly all-time Frankie Muniz tweet.
Oh, my God.
Someone stole my trailer from in front of my house today. I can't take this shit anymore. So we're getting Frankie's falling down moment, it looks like. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
Sean, do you want to explain the song you wrote?
Oh, right, right, right. We're continuing our series of throwing it in Sufjan Stevens' face. There's going to be a song about every NBA city. We've done Atlanta and Boston. Next is Brooklyn, and this is a Blink 182 song about a reserve Brooklyn guard, and it's called "Sham It." Parentheses spotting up.
Great. Trust the process and shut it down. Let's all enjoy the playoffs and stop making lewd hand gestures or throwing things at anybody. Be a good person. Fuck Bill de Blasio. Fuck billionaires. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
It's alright to trade me. I'm now on the third team. I will pout like Rondo. I've been on a condo. I know there's a big three. The touches for Landry. The playoffs are calling. On defense, I'm falling down. Got shafted, dumped twice before I got drafted. Need offensive structure, like Griffin's a fucker. Can't stop guys, I'm too short. Way lighter than Lou Dort. Don't shoot like Joe Harris. Still a knife man with Harris gun. Kawhi PG wanted vets, so I was traded to the Nets. Get Alibaba cash to play for Steve Nash. If I dribble just one time, I'll be right in pine. The corner's now my home, and I guess this is spotting up. And maybe in the finals, I'll face off with my rivals. Pat Bioven, Marcus Morris, our defense is porous. But they won't come to town, they'll choke in the first round. The Lakers are coming, Caruso is going down. It'll happen once again. I'll pass to Harden, someone who does it all, and also hops the ball. When you're backing up Kyrie, and he's high on LSD, at least I'm not Luke Kennard, and I guess this is spotting up. Man, Tom DeLonge should really talk to Kyrie about UFOs. I think they'd find some common ground. Well, I guess this is spotting up. 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 Well, I guess this is spotting up.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.